It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news every morning. We do it on iHeartRadio, Spotify, of course, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And another Friday has shown up. Yes, Friday, the 19th day for April. And just having a look at the Australian economy, it's still battling on. I see data from Creditor Watch that tells us a 22% increase in businesses under, at the moment, external administration compared to last year. And construction firms face the brunt of it, battling tax defaults, escalating material costs, and labour shortages. Now, geographically, Western Sydney and Southeast Queensland are bearing the brunt of business failures, while regions with older businesses and residents are showing greater resilience. And I guess off the back of that, let's go to one of those resilient states. Let's go to Perth and catch up with Matthew Hughes, the founder and managing director of Capital Property Advisory. And a very good morning to you, Matthew. Welcome back to the Real Estate Breakfast. I understand you're battling a little bit, standing up, talking to me at the moment.
Yeah, I'm pacing around my boardroom with a bulge disc in my back. Sitting down's a bit difficult at the moment, so trying to get through it, just walking around.
Oh, yeah, nothing worse. I mean, that makes you sort of like 30 years older, doesn't it?
And then some, yeah, especially when you've got two young kids, trying to pick them up and play with them with a bulge disc is not fun.
That's a natural reaction. You see your children, naturally you go and pick them up, and it's once you're holding them that you realise, hang on, why am I doing this? Because I've got pain.
I did exactly that last night when my daughter hurt herself on the trampoline and regretted it almost immediately.
All right, well, let's talk about some pain, because I want to ask you about Canstar's recent national property report that is suggesting that Perth's property market is beginning to cool off after a three-year boom. So very interested to know your perspective on that assessment.
Yeah, interesting report. Look, you've got to, I sometimes question the motives of the people who are writing these reports and on behalf of whom they're writing them. But look, no doubt the Perth market can't continue to grow at its current rate forever. But having said that, we don't see any signs of a slowdown at the moment, not in the leading indicators, and certainly not from our boots on the ground perspective. We've seen stock levels drop again since our last conversation. There's now down from about 4,000 to 3,700 properties on the market. Median selling days are still at 8, and our vacancy rate, which sat at about 0.7 for about the last 12 months, just dropped to 0.4. Yeah, so apparently Perth is now ranked as the fourth best city to invest in, which is up from third last year. And that probably tells you all you need to know about this report, the fact that we were ranked third last year but have led the country in growth for the past 2 years, with a third year likely, yet we're languishing in that third and fourth position. And when you dig closer, you look at how they've actually assessed the markets and the different metrics that they've used. And they've only used five metrics to assess the different suburbs that they've put on their list. And some of these suburbs that they've named in Perth, I wouldn't even want to drive through, let alone invest in. So it's a matter of, I think there might be a little bit of East Coast bias in the report, and also just a matter of looking at data alone and not having any knowledge of the local market.
Okay. And I also see that the report is indicating a decline in sales volumes in Perth during the second half of last year. Now, that is suggesting that the market may have peaked. So interested again in your thoughts on that.
Yeah, look, if you look at the CoreLogic data month to date, I think we've done about 1% growth halfway through the month already. So suggesting that we've peaked is probably a bit off base when we're tracking for 20% plus growth this year. But if you're cherry picking statistics to support a predetermined outcome, then that's probably a good one to utilise. If you look at the sales statistics, they are trending a little bit lower lately. But if you look at also at the stock levels and the fact that there's no stock to buy, it sort of makes sense to me that there would be less transactions in a market market where there is less to transact on. If you look at us now at the moment with the amount of transactions we did last week, it was 935, which is higher than the long-term average. This time last year, it was 758. So during that period, stocks dropped 45% and we're doing more transactions. So it's still a little bit baffling to me how they've arrived at these outcomes.
Yeah, that's when you put it like that, that's very interesting to look through that lens. All right, so we're talking to Matthew Hughes. He's on the ground there in Perth. We'll come back. We'll talk more Perth property after this.
Every week, real estate transactions take place as the market shifts month by month. And every day, we keep you better informed and updated on The Real Estate Podcast.
Well, a place that you would not have wanted to be at on Tuesday was Dubai. They had the biggest downpour in 75 years. There was 255 millimetres in less than 24 hours. You might have seen some pictures from the airport that was closed. The entire region was thrown into chaos. And we talked to Mario from time to time there in Dubai, and we'll catch up with him next week, because as we've mentioned in the past, there is no infrastructure in Dubai to deal with the rain. So you buy property, you're living in a high rise, and when the rain comes, it literally really does flood out Dubai. It seems crazy that they never put the pipes in. I mean, this is 2024, but it only rains a few times each year. But with global warming, of course, you are starting to see some more of these events. So we'll catch up with Mario next week. We'll find out just how badly they fared.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling, and investing across Australia. Ready to step up your property knowledge? Access powerful insights with us.
And it is a Real Estate Friday. Looking forward to another weekend. We are in Perth talking to Matthew Hughes. And Matthew, how does the current market competition compare across different price points based on your team's experiences at the moment?
Not much has changed in the lower price points. So sub 600 to 700 is still white hot. We're still surprised almost every week at the prices that we're seeing for properties that are selling, properties that we're sometimes bidding on and missing out on because they're getting to levels that make us a little bit uncomfortable for our clients. And then if you look at the middle sector and then the luxury sector, we're starting to see that heat up a little bit as well. Now, it's always been a seller's market across all sectors for some time now, but most of the activity has been at that lower end, and that's what's been driving our contraction in stock levels and price growth. But if you look at the middle sector at the moment, that's really starting to heat up, and you're starting to see properties in that sort of $1 million to $2 million range get snapped up very quickly within sort of 3 to 7 days from the stuff that I've been looking at.
One of the things that you like to do is get out of Perth from time to time. You mentioned that you did this recent trip to Sydney where you met with local partners and major buyers agencies. What's their sentiment towards the Perth property market at the moment, and what investment advice are they offering their clients at the moment?
Yeah, look, we've got some good contacts on the East Coast, and I did a trip to Sydney last week and met with two of the larger buyers agencies in Sydney. I like to go over there and learn from people who have bigger businesses than me and are in markets that are a bit more advanced than what the Perth market is currently. And it was a great learning experience. And what I sort of gleaned from the conversations I had with them is that they're focused a lot more in Sydney, especially on owner-occupier buyer's agency work. They're not doing a lot of investment stuff, certainly not with local investors, given the price points. And when I asked them where they're suggesting that their clients purchase, one of them actually has an office in Sydney and Brisbane, and he was suggesting Perth over Brisbane, just given it's where he feels it sits in its current cycle. He was talking about Perth being probably about a third of the way through its current cycle, whereas Brisbane's probably half or more. So that's the opinion of a couple of the smartest guys I know in property, and it sort of echoes what we've been saying for some time about the Perth market, is that there's still plenty of runway in front of us in terms of future growth.
All right. So if you're into your cornies in Brisbane listening to the podcast right now, I think that's probably just evidence of the competition that does exist between Perth and Brisbane for that very reason, you know, because you're vying for those competitors that are in Victoria, that are in a New South Wales, right?
That's right. Yeah. Look, historically, a lot of the East Coasters would be reluctant to look at Perth. They typically stick to the East Coast. And so it would be Sydney, Melbourne, or Brisbane they'd be investing in. But people are really starting to see the benefit of looking across the country now and looking at the growth in Perth and the growth in the economy and our population growth. And just the fact that the city seems to be maturing and becoming more of a world city. So I think the cat's out of the bag a little bit from a Perth perspective, and that's why we're getting all that population growth. And with that, we're getting all the investor interest because the population growth is driving the rents given our very low vacancy rate. So we've seen massive upward pressure on rents. And so with that coupled with the affordability has got Perth really as the highlighted city for investment at the moment.
Yeah, and when you say, you know, the cat is out of the bag, I wonder how much in terms of geographically positioned. In other words, if you were a little bit closer and you weren't so far away, how much that would actually play into even more investment coming into WA?
Yeah, the fact that we are so remote has always been a deterrent, I think, and that coupled with our reliance historically on the resources industry. But I think what people are starting to realise is that the economy has diversified, and even within the resources industry, there's been diversification. So it's less, there's no getting away from the fact that we are correlated with the performance of the resources industry, but it's not just the iron ore price anymore. It's a number of different resources, and the economy itself has diversified and strengthened. And if you look at the level of capital expenditure in mining now, as opposed to our last peak back in 2012 to 2014, it's about half of what it was. So it's not just being driven by that one industry anymore.
Okay, so let's shift gears to the construction industry, because there seems to be positive news about a slowdown in construction cost growth, particularly in WA during Q1. So tell us a little bit more about what's happening in this area.
I guess it's not all good news, because prices for construction are still very high and they're not going to come back, but the rate of growth has slowed considerably nationally and especially in WA. So we saw in the last quarter nationally a 0.8% growth on the construction pricing and just 2.8% for the year, and that's well below the pre-COVID decade average of 4%. But then in WA, we're benefiting from even lower price growth. So it was only 0.7 for the quarter and only 2.1% for the year. So both of those are music to my ears, because we're just getting through the planning process to build our new family home. So it's nice to know that prices are starting to stabilise and timeframes are starting to normalise.
All right, well, we'll leave it there. Bit of a mixed bag report from Perth this week. Matthew, you look after the back, look after that bulge in your back, and we'll talk again soon. Enjoy your weekend.
You too, Craig. Talk to you soon, mate.
Every week, unravel the real estate market to empower your real estate knowledge.
So I thought it would be good to actually introduce Robert in to discuss the legalities of fractional ownership, what indeed fractional ownership is, to highlight any questions that the listeners might have.
So a very good morning to you, Robert. Great to have you on.
Good morning, Craig. And thank you very much for that introduction, Mario. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell the listeners, Robert, all about what fractional ownership is about.
Yeah, of course. So fractional ownership breaks down that co-ownership even further. So rather than you and some friends purchasing a property, you don't even need to know the other people. You can come in and you can take 10%, 5% of a property, and other people that are interested in that property take the remainder, all managed in a fully legal way via a regulated company. It means you can invest in real estate without having to have the full amount.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.